James Sharman joins us now. Good morning, James. I'm afraid to talk. Someone's going to jump on me here. How are you?
Not as good as you guys, apparently. How you doing?
Decent enough. Watched your Liverpool crew yesterday. What'd you make of that performance?
It was pretty good. I mean, listen, they won with their usual panache and their usual swashbuckling soccer, but that's a good thing. I think in previous seasons, that's the kind of game against a team like Crystal Palace they would have drawn or even maybe lost, you know. So they found a way to get three important points, and I say that because I know it's week two and it's kind of meaningless, but you have to keep pace with Man City right now, because even if you go behind 3 or 6 points, good night, race is done, give them the championship, right? So I thought it was a different way to win for Liverpool, but impressive.
So Man United, I might be the only one on the planet, James. I'm not buying the infinite amount of trouble that many others feel Jose Mourinho is in. They were second last year. They had a good FA Cup run. Champions League awaits. I think we're really early days. Man United made this. They've made this mistake a couple times post Alex Ferguson, I think, in moving just too quickly on a guy. And this is Jose Mourinho. Doesn't he have a lot more wiggle room than some are saying?
You know what? It's really hard to say, but there's something wrong there for sure. That being said, you're right, Greg. I mean, listen, it's week two of the season, and yeah, it was a bad performance against Brighton, and you know, there's clearly issues on and off the field there, but it's week two. This team could easily string together, you know, 6 or 7 wins and do it the United way under Mourinho, and they'll be just fine. But I don't know, you know, the chief there, Ed Woodward, he's come out and said some comments here and there insinuating that, you know, we're doing business differently now. We're not going to essentially spend 50, 60 million on aging players anymore. We're going to go more like the Man City route, younger players. Whereas Mourinho wants the tried and tested veterans. So there's a philosophical difference there between the two. But, you know, I don't think Mourinho's in danger anytime soon. It could be this year. There's a bit of a track record with Mourinho in third years at teams. But it's way too early to say that the guy's on the brink of being fired, which is what I'm reading in some places,
no.
I would think. But there's a lot of, you know, fingers to point at a lot of different people right now. And Mourinho doesn't help it by just nurturing this negativity around the club. And listen, as you know, no club in world football gets more press time, more radio time, more TV time than United. So when things aren't going right, there's going to be more discussion about it. So I think it's as simple as that.
Now, Greg would know more about the who's and the whys when it comes to the UEFA finalists, individual players. But I wonder, in reading yesterday, why there's so much weight. And I understand Champions League, you know, the world is watching. But in a year when there's a World Cup, why is there so much more weight when it comes to Champions League than the World Cup itself when they hand out the awards?
Well because it's the UEFA Player of the Year, right? UEFA. And they're as arrogant as any governing body. So they want to reward it to the guys that did it on their watch. They see the Champions League as the preeminent tournament in world football. Better than the World Cup, even better than their own Euro. So I think that's why they want to appease the big clubs and the big names. So that's probably why that is. Plus also, you know, the Champions League is a tournament that stretches through the entire season, pretty much. The World Cup, listen, as wonderful as it is, it's a one-month tournament. You catch lightning in a bottle and you can see some great performances. But it doesn't always translate to a great player or a great career. We've seen numerous players over the years have good World Cups, engineer big moves to big clubs, and then do nothing. So I think the Champions League rewards, you know, more longevity. You can do it through the group phases in, you know, the backwaters of European football or on the biggest stage. If you can do it all, you should get quite a few votes, I think, on that, which is why I think you saw, you know, Ronaldo back in there once again. Mo Salah did very well in the Champions League, of course, getting to the final, even better in the Premier League. And Luka Modric, who had both a good World Cup and a very strong Champions League.
James Sharman, our guest, 7:41 on Brady and Price. An early start. They have great games, actually, this Saturday. Early start with Wolves at the Etihad to play Man City. 7 o'clock start for pregame there. And Liverpool at Brighton at noon, of course, on Sportsnet and Sportsnet World. So, yeah, Elliot mentioned Toronto FC. Those are 2 points against San Jose. You just have to go get, but have to is not the same as must win. This Saturday is the absolute must win against the Montreal Impact. And they've got 5 of the next 7 at home. Sure. early. I still don't see them out. I still don't see them out despite 2 wins in 13 road games. And God, it's a lot more exciting than last year at this time where you're just wondering how many points they'll finish first by. But excitement isn't, that's not the same as you know, safety. I feel like if they get in, they can beat anybody. But they got to get in to get that opportunity to beat anybody. And you can't get in if you lose this Saturday. Or don't win.
It's funny, isn't it? You look at this team the last, you know, 3 years and this renaissance for Toronto FC, and they've done it differently each year. You know, the first year they got to the final, they didn't make it, you know, they lost in penalties, but it was a very strong regular season. Last year, by far the best team in the league from day one, maybe the best MLS team ever last season. And this year, if they manage it, and you're right, it's not done just yet, if they manage it, it might be one of the great stories, the great comebacks we've seen in recent history, because it's been a dire season for them. But you're right, they're just, I believe, they're 2 points back of Montreal in that final spot. 9 points back, but Montreal have 2 games in hand. So it's an extremely important game this weekend coming up for them. Can they do it? Sure. And you mentioned the home games. It's very important, but there's so many teams between them and that last playoff spot. That's the issue. And I know we've discussed that before with Jays and Leafs over the years, you know, how the points are almost irrelevant. It's how many teams you've got to climb over. And that's going to be the issue. It's going to be a real upward battle. But I was speaking to some people at the club recently, and no one really has an idea what's really gone wrong. I mean, we understand that the Champions League derailed the preseason. There are a lot of injuries that they've dealt with this year, but you know, some of those players had maybe a peak. Maybe last year was their best season, you know, from Giovinco to even Bradley to Drew Moore, who's been hurt a lot this year as well. Key contributors who have taken perhaps a step back this year. So maybe the decline has already started, and maybe management didn't quite foresee that happening just so soon.